welcome back to another Daily Walk. Well, today I want to spend a few minutes talking about expositional preaching and why this is the type of preaching that you should be under most of the time. Now, some churches do expositional preaching, and some churches try and do a lot of topical or life application type things. And I don't think that the topical or life application is intrinsically bad. The challenge with it is that it is not the way that we are to seek to understand the whole of the scriptures. And that is really what the purpose and the difference is. So I want to talk about the importance of expositional preaching today. To understand this, we first have to look at the method by which we are applying the scripture to the message we're doing. And there's two basic views in this. One of these is called eisegesis, and the other is called exegesis. So eiso is when you are having your topic and you're looking for a Bible verse which matches what you're trying to say. This is how a lot of our modern culture works. This is how a lot of our daily devotionals work. Somebody comes up with some usually pop psychology, fun-sounding story, and then let's find a Bible verse that matches what I'm saying. That's eisegesis, and it ignores the context around the verse. There are other issues and other problems with that particular viewpoint. Exegesis is where you start with a scripture, you read the scripture, and then you say, what does this mean? And then you utilize the tools of the scripture and the Bible to understand what that happens to mean. And so looking at this, eisegesis versus exegesis, ultimately, the best way to study the Bible is an exegetical process. You're getting into the scripture, you're opening it up, you're seeing what the scripture says. There is a view called methodical Bible study, which is a very expositional type approach. So this is what you want to do. Now, a lot of your messages and sermons these days, particularly in your more hipper churches, you know, we gotta be relevant to the time. They'll cover topical stuff. So you'll go to church and learn how to lose weight. That's not the purpose of going to church. Okay. You'll go to church and learn how to be a better parent with a bunch of individual tips that if you as a sinner are not confronting your sin, will probably not do a lot of them and will pervert and cause more problems than it will help. You might find yourself under the very topical stuff. We're going to talk about the LGBTQ movement inside of the church and all these types of things. These are all things the church should be addressing, but not Sunday morning in the sermon. These are all things that should be addressed maybe at a seminar, maybe at a weekend workshop, maybe at a Sunday school class, maybe at a just a midweek type of service or a midweek study. These are important areas to get to. But when it comes down to coming into the scripture, the sermon was based on the idea that you hear and respond to the reading of the Word of God. Most of the time, when you get into life application or topical studies, you're bouncing all over the place, utilizing individual verses to highlight the point that the preacher would like to make. Again, that is not horrible in some areas, particularly looking at different types of systematic theology. This is exactly what they do. Here is a teleological argument. Let's look at all the different verses that teach this particular argument and this particular view. We want to talk about eschatology. There's multiple different views of eschatology, a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, pre-wrath. Then you got the preterist views and all these other things in eschatology. You have to look at a number of different verses, number of different places to understand it. But when you do that, you always have to make sure you come back and refocus on the actual context of the package. You can't find something that sounds like what you want to say and say, see, it says this. One of the best examples is 2 Peter 3:9. I don't actually have it in front of me, but as basic summarized, God is not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. So this is oftentimes used in Arminian circles. Go, see, God doesn't want any of us to perish. He wants us all to choose him. That's not what that verse is talking about. If you look at the verse in the context of the whole passage, it's talking about the fact that God is loving and God is patient, but ultimately it is God who does the choosing. This isn't a whole message on that one particular verse. Just understand that you can get into views like this that are problematic because you're looking at single individual verses, and that is certainly an issue that you want to tackle. So again, the life application and the topical-based preaching, they're okay time to time. You might do, like I know a preacher who does really good expositional preaching throughout the year, but then when it comes to special holidays or things, he'll do a message focused on that particular holiday. That's a cool approach. You might have some major critical event happen. You need to stop and do a sermon on that critical event. That's okay. But by and large, most of the preaching in your church should be expositional preaching. We're going opening up the scripture. We're going word for word through the scriptures to see what the Bible has to teach us. That is what is critically important. Now, I wanted to talk about the reason. I pointed out here three reasons you should be doing expositional preaching most of the time. The first of these is it eliminates pet positions. So a pet position would be a viewpoint a preacher has that is, it's a viewpoint a person would have. So it's like, my favorite things to talk about grace, my favorite things to talk about Calvinism, my favorite things to talk about Arminianism, my favorite things to talk about pre-wrath or pre-tribulation rapture. If you have these pet doctrines and you're not confined by what the scripture says, then you're going to continuously go back to these. I remember one preacher, he was not very good at one point in time. One of the best, most knowledgeable guys I ever knew. He eventually learned and learned how to sit down and write a really good expositional sermons. But at the time, he would scribble down his sermons on the way to the car, in the car on the way to church. His wife drove in from church. And invariably, because he was doing that, his favorite doctrines would come out, and every sermon was the same thing with the same verses. Now, eventually he realized that was a problem, which was amazing. Once he got down and started doing expositional preaching, verse for verse of the scripture, his messages and sermons became, they went from like, you know, 1 out of 10, maybe let's say 3 out of 10. They were pretty good because he was highly knowledgeable. 3 or 4 out of 10 up to like 9 or 10 out of 10. That's how good he went just by changing that preaching style. It gets you off of those pet positions. I'm reminded, I'm going through right now, the Matthew series volumes by John MacArthur. It's like, I don't know, 16, 17 volumes of, you know, 10, 11 sermons, hundreds of sermons in the book of Matthew. And, he's reading through at one point in time, and that's one of the verses that talk about money. He's like, oh, we don't talk about money a lot here. Sorry if this is your first time coming to Grace Church. We don't usually talk about money, but here it is, the preacher talking about money. He's like, we just do it because it happened to be in the verse that we're talking about today, you know? And so, this is it's related to the first point, but it's also related to the second point. It eliminates leaving things out. You see, particularly if we get hardcore about Calvinism, I might want to gloss over John 3:16. I might want to gloss over 2 Peter 3:9. Not that these are antithetical to the viewpoint, but they are harder to deal with in a short period of time. Okay, you can deal with them appropriately, but you might have to do a John MacArthur one-hour sermon on John 3:16 to actually understand the full of what that verse actually says, because it is theologically deep, although it's one that we tend to just throw around in our modern vernacular. And so going expositionally through the scriptures eliminates us leaving things out. We are forced to deal with topics we may not want to talk about. We may not want to talk about pre-tribulation or mid-tribulation or post-wrath or pre-wrath or all these different views, but we are forced to talk about such things and to question such things when we encounter such verses, like what does it mean when the last trumpet rings and the angels come in the skies? We have to deal with these verses as they arise when we're going verse by verse through the scriptures. So the first point is it eliminates us from focusing and dwelling on pet positions, but number two is it prevents us from leaving things out that are either uncomfortable or we don't think about, or we might say, oh, that's just too deep for the church, we'll skip that verse. No, it's never too deep for the church. The best time to start learning the scripture is right now. This is the best time to learn it. And the third way is that this is what teaches us what the Bible says. It's not us going through and saying, What do I want to preach about? Let me find a bunch of verses which will solidify the point I want to preach about. It says, what is the Bible actually teaching us? We got to go verse for verse. We've opened up the scripture. Here is a verse. What does this verse mean in the full of its glory? That is what we must question, and expositional preaching will help us in that particular approach. So that is really what we wanted to mention here today on expositional preaching. If your church is not doing this, consider bringing it up to the elder board and say, hey, maybe we should be doing this, and let's take these really good topical or life application studies. Let's move these onto seminars or Sunday school curricula or things like that, because that's a great time for that. It is a great time to come into Sunday school and cover topics. This way, you can get to the point where it's like, okay, you have a church with a bunch of young parents and a bunch of old empty nesters. You know what the greatest opportunity would be? The empty nesters get together and develop a six-week Sunday school course for new parents. That would be an amazing ministry. A, it frees up the preacher. It gives elderly, or not elderly necessarily, but experienced parents, a panel of teachers to talk to young parents, and produces a support system within the church by which you can do. Excellent thing to do, best to do on Sunday morning. Sorry for that airplane flying over. They must be spying out our lands again. The evil government. I don't know. Anyway, with that, folks, thanks for watching. And you can have a look over the website, ourwalkinchrist.com. You can find the books we have and the other resources and how it helps support the channel. Thanks for watching, and hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.